This is episode 332, recorded March 25th, 2016. Packard pokes at, okay, let's talk. If your faith healing lasts longer than 4 hours, call a doctor.
What time is it? It's Packard pokes at time. Hat? Check. Shirt? Check. Pants? Optional. Mug? Double check. Check us out at cafepress.com/PackardPokesAt where you can get all this great merchandise and more.
Do you like Packard Pokes At and want to hear it on demand and on the go? Download the free app today at Stitcher.com. Available on iOS, Android, Nook, and iPad.
This is Packard Pokes At, and I'm poking at your news.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another fine edition of Packard Pokes At. I am your immutable and unmutable host, Packard Sonic. And joining us tonight from the far west coast is Connie, Practical Magic 9.
Hello, I'm looking for that rabbit and trying to figure out why he's crucified. Hide
the eggs. The bitch boiled my rabbit! No.
Very quiet.
And joining us from the far east coast is Paul Torville from News Undies.
Hey, hey, hey. I was just looking at those wonderful Easter cookies with the the red jelly in the palm of the hand.
Yeah, that's disgusting. Like someone had a bad goiter. It's like, ugh. And you know, every Christian gets this wrong. If they wanted to be accurate, it should be below the wrist. It should just be just below the wrist.
Yep.
It's
true. Yeah. The ligaments and stuff are not strong enough to hold the nail, the weight of the body.
It's yep. Not on the hand. No. It would just rip right off. The body would just flip right over. Anyway, yeah. But that's not our topic tonight.
Damn it. I was hoping.
I know we did an Easter show last year.
So that's it. We're done with Easter.
Done with Easter. Easter's no more. We're boarding. No.
Oh, good. Yeah. Bring the Germans in.
What could go wrong?
Right? What could possibly go wrong? Speaking of what could possibly go wrong is when people have a sickness or they're ill for some reason, and instead of going to a doctor, especially if they have something very seriously wrong with them, they have a tendency to say, hey, we're going to invoke the almighty sky wizard and say, hey, God, can you fix this, please? Because they think that's a thing. And that's the topic of tonight's subject of... okay, let's talk. It's if your faith healing lasts longer than 4 hours, call a doctor. Or faith healing and other woo.
Woo-hoo! All aboard the crazy train. Woo-hoo!
Which one?
Yeah, no kidding. There is a lot of examples. One that happened here in my own town, there was a death. She had diabetes, undiagnosed diabetes, and instead of taking her to the doctor, they prayed for her, and the family lost her in the process, and her name was Madeline Newman, and that happened, like I said, in my own town. She was 11 years old back in 2008. She began to show signs of excessive lethargy, all the way to the point of losing consciousness. Instead of contacting local doctors, they chose to pray over her, and she eventually died of acute diabetic reaction. The couple was finally convicted of second-degree reckless homicide. Now, the thing is, though, they only got, like, 1 year in prison and 6 months in prison, and it was 10 years on probation, which is sickening. They only got 6 months for killing their child.
Mm-hmm. You know, that raises a question for me, and you know, more and more we're seeing these cases where the parents are charged, and usually it's after they've killed like two or three children.
Yeah,
it's like, oh well, this is a trend. Maybe we should do something about this. But why aren't they going upstream?
Yeah,
go to the pastors. Go to the people who are planting these ideas in the parents' heads.
That's a good idea.
I mean, it's the same thing as the drug war, you know? Mm-hmm. You don't really beat up the pusher in the street. You go after his supplier's supplier.
Right.
Why aren't we going upstream with this stuff?
That's a good question. You know, in 38 states, including the District of Columbia, let me back this up. Back in 1944, the Supreme Court ruled that parental authority cannot interfere with a child's welfare, even in the case of religious expression. That's still on the books today.
Yep.
But like I said, those 38 states and D.C. Provided religious exemptions in those civil codes on child abuse and neglect. So this way they got exempted for this because you could just say, oh, my kid died. God's will. God's will.
Well, free exercise clause of the First Amendment is usually what's brought up.
Yeah.
You should not prohibit the free exercise thereof. And that's, I guess, generally where it's disputed. It's just, I don't know. It's shocking to me that it seems like these sects also who are really, they're the most like dogged about faith and healing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you have your shysters like Benny Hinn, who, you know, people go to the tent meetings, and Benny Hinn doesn't tell them to go off of their meds, but he tells them they're healed, and people independently will sometimes go off of their meds. And so it's kind of this gray area. But
there have been pastors that have said that, hey, you shouldn't be taking your meds. You don't need to take them anymore.
Right. Throwing away your crutches are usually the big thing. Mm-hmm. But you have these groups like the Followers of Christ in Oregon and Oklahoma, Idaho, and California that they say absolutely no, don't seek any medical help, and they're the ones that they're killing kids quite prolifically. Children are dying under this. It's a very they're segregated themselves. They are insular, and of course there's the fear of shunning in this cloistered community. It's really weird because even Christian Science, while they have a terrible track record too.
Oh,
they're
absolutely.
They're more progressive than this group in that. It's sickening. And I don't know. I mean, part of me thinks that these parents, they have to be somewhat brainwashed and afraid.
Yeah.
Afraid of losing their community. I don't want to be too sympathetic towards them, but at the same time, like Paul's saying, what about the people who are actually propagating these ideas?
Yeah.
That's who's ultimately responsible, and maybe the church leaders. And if they were made to be culpable for this, they could sit there and cry persecution all they want to, but at least we might see change.
Yeah. Two of the biggest groups that rely on faith healing, Jehovah's Witnesses and the Christian Scientists.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there was a study that was done between the years of 1975 and 1995. The deaths found that in 34 states, among 23 religious groups, they belong to the families of the Christian Scientists, Faith Tabernacle, Faith Assembly, and several other religious groups that practice their faith healing. He compared the death tolls with expected survival rates if the children had received routine medical care. This was interesting. They found 140 of those children would have had a 90% chance of surviving if they had been treated medically. 18 of those children would have had at least a 50 to 90% chance of surviving. 11 of those children would have received some benefit from medical care, and only 3 would not have been helped with medical care. 3. If you're one of those 3 that would not be able to be helped with medical service, then pray all you want. But you don't know that until you actually go out and get medical help. Now, one of those things was a 2-year-old had died because he choked on a piece of banana and died within the hour because the parents frantically gathered other church members in a circle to pray around the child. The child is choking to death, and what do they do? Instead of, you know, trying to clear his windpipe, you know, or doing the Heimlich or just getting a doctor or an ambulance or calling 911, which they didn't even do, they all got around him and prayed. That does shit. There, you know, I go on this show quite often, and I say one of the things that really pisses me off is child indoctrination. This is even above that. This pisses me off even more. If you're an adult and you want to pray for your sickness to go away, and if it does, great. If it doesn't and you die, it's your choice. Those children do not have a choice.
Yep. Yeah. Well, that's the big thing. It's kind of like the question, the difference between being a consenting adult acting in your own interests.
Right.
Versus acting as the legal guardian or caregiver for a non-consenting adult.
Right.
Yeah.
And that is kind of a narrower case of the old, you know, your right to swing your arm ends at the tip of my nose.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So if you're making decisions for yourself that impact primarily you, mm-hmm. then go ahead. Believe in crazy things. Look for faith healers. Do all that stuff and knock yourself out. Have a great time.
Yep.
But the minute your fucking whacked out ideas begin to make another person sad or sick or dead, you have to be held accountable for that.
Yes.
Yeah.
I would say so. I agree with that.
And I think that's an implicit limitation in the free exercise clause.
Yeah.
It should be.
Yeah. I mean, that's the way I interpret it.
I don't understand how they
call me crazy, but you know.
Yeah. No, that's not crazy. Now there are, I would say that there are some exceptions to this. Is the fact is that there are those preachers that prey on their parishioners, and we kind of mentioned that a little bit earlier, that they say, hey, you shouldn't be taking medicines because it's not natural. That's the other faith. That's the other part of the faith healing shit that they pull, and the other woo.
Well, what's really, as I was researching some of this, what's really tragic is I was looking at the statistics of what these children are dying from. I mean, in Oregon, is it Idaho, Peaceful Valley Cemetery, which mm-hmm. was established in 1905, there's 604 graves. 208 of those graves are children. 149, 70%, have been buried after the 1972 adoption of the religious definition clause.
Yeah.
And you know what? In 2011, all 11 children buried since 2011, and this was in 2013. So in 2 years, the 11 children died from preventable conditions. Infants slowly dying from sepsis, respiratory failure, diabetes, teenagers with pneumonia for weeks.
Mm-hmm.
One died from undiagnosed leukemia, and one from food poisoning, who died with a ruptured esophagus from vomiting.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know, the thing about the children, the infants, is they're dying slow, you know, within the first year, and they're dying from things that, I'm sorry, are total. They're so totally preventable. What is this, 1850?
Yeah.
When infant mortality rate was really, really, really high, and they're showing the same numbers. I mean, I didn't crunch them, but I'm looking at them. And I see the correlation.
Yeah.
It's weird to me that people who want to adhere so closely to what they consider to be the Bible and faith, they're going backwards. It's sort of like the Darwin, you know, from the little amoeba to the man they're going backwards.
Yeah, they are going backwards. The child you're referencing is Robert Twitchell, from 1986. He had some unknown illness at that moment, and he suffered for 5 days. And if you're eating your dinner, I apologize. They were a church nurse was force feeding him by his bedside, and on the fifth day he was throwing up brown goo and screaming so loudly in pain that the neighbors had to close their windows to avoid hearing him. Finally, at the end of the fifth day, at age two, he died of peritonitis, an abdominal infection, a twisted bowel, and his autopsy showed that bright red chin and lips were the acid in his vomit had been eaten away at his skin. He was also so dehydrated that the skin stayed up when it was pinched. 15 inches of his intestines were blackened because the blood supply had been cut off. And the parents only called 911 after rigor had set in. That's disgusting.
You know, and as much as terrible as that is.
Yeah.
And that's terrible. I mean, that's the lack of caring for your own offspring and all of that reveals is just stupefying.
Yeah.
But there's a part of me that thinks, well, okay, maybe this will help to reduce their numbers.
I could see that as an argument.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I mean, if they want to remove themselves or they want to remove their own children, they want to remove their line from the gene pool.
Yeah.
The best way would be to just not have children. There was actually
they don't believe in birth control or anything like that.
Yeah.
There was actually back in the early 1800s, 1700s, there was actually a sect, a religious sect that said that they should not have sex at all. Where's that sect today? It's not around anymore because they couldn't reproduce to have children to indoctrinate them into it.
Right.
That's one sect I wish Christianity would follow.
Well, and then not just Christianity. I wouldn't mind Islam.
Yeah, Islam too. Well. Exactly. Islam too.
Yeah. Wow. That's good stuff.
Yeah. It's amazing. There was another one here that caught my attention. Zachary Sweeney back in 2009, him and his family had belonged to the Church of the Firstborn in Okanon, Washington. I'm probably pronouncing that wrong.
Okanagan is a county mostly, but okay.
Okanagan. Okay, it sounds like you're getting hit in the noggin. That's okay.
exactly.
Now, they encouraged faith healing, and on March 15th, in 2009, their 17-year-old son became ill. The family thought that the sickness was the result of eating a rotten sandwich. You can get sick from doing that, I suppose. But when you're 17, your stomach is pretty well, I would like to say, cast iron.
Yeah. Hey, what's that black cracker? It's a tomato.
It's a tomato now. You know. I know. Hey, I would eat all kinds of crap at one thing on top of each other, and most people would look at me and go, "Why the fuck are you eating at that?" It was like, ugh.
We need to rename this show. If you better not be eating.
Don't eat while you listen to this show. Anyway, that he died 3 days later because he had high fever and stomach cramps. Because he was just a few months of just being 18 and was unable to make his own decisions, the father claimed that when he asked if he wanted to go to the hospital 15 minutes before he would die, Zach said no. So apparently they welcomed members of the congregation the day before to pray for him and his dad and dab his head with olive oil. You know, the whole dabbing things with olive oil. Olive oil is great on a salad. It's not so great on your skin. I mean, at least not for doing anything personal. I mean, it might make you look shiny and shit, and it might even be good for your skin, but that's
it. It's a great moisturizer, Packard. Come on.
Yeah.
Olive oil is a great moisturizer.
But the thing is, his appendix had burst.
Yeah.
And
that peritonitis.
Yeah. And if your appendix bursts, there's very little that you're going to live from that. You can be saved if you get to the hospital like immediately.
Yeah.
But
he's dead. Yeah, but his skin looks great.
He makes me want to have a salad.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah. Now, the couple was originally charged with second-degree murder, but the couple was then later acquitted in May of 2012, which kind of pisses me off that they got acquitted of this.
Well, you know, the problem with this is that these parents, they're still trying to heal their child. They're not beating their child. They're not abusing them that way.
Right.
And so therein is the problem. And I'm sorry, somebody who's that oppressed, you know, mentally, that they are afraid of being shunned by their community and they have been so brainwashed by everything else. That's where I think religion probably needs to be a mental disease. That some kind, you know,
I would say it is.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I would say, go ahead, Paul.
I was just going to say, you know, this kind of goes to something that occurred to me is, there's all these religious exemptions. Connie, I think you'd mentioned there was like 38 states or something where they have religious exemptions.
Yeah, I did, actually.
Or Packard. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
But it seems to me that they ought to have a means test for the religious exemption.
Okay.
Like, with welfare or support programs, you have these means tests like, are you actually poor enough to need this? You know, that kind of thing.
Oh, I see what you're saying, yeah.
They should have a thing where it's like, okay, if you're going to do this religious exemption thing, if you're going to go ahead and do the faith healing thing, you need to demonstrate to us that it's legitimate.
Yeah.
That it actually works better than chance before you can be allowed to do the faith healing thing.
Right.
So that should be – well, because religion is a personal choice. Right. I don't want to take away all parental some rights, because we have a responsibility to our kids and we make choices, and maybe we don't always agree with everything that society in general does. But in the case of a child's health, that should not be something if the parent wants to make an exemption themselves from having any medical help because of their religion, their child is not old enough to choose. Maybe children shouldn't be able to, if they can't write contracts, if they can't do all this other stuff, maybe they shouldn't be forced to be indoctrinated in religion until they're 18 of an age that they can choose that kind of thing.
I agree.
But then you're taking away parental rights, right?
Well, no,
it's parental responsibilities.
It's because that was
I know you're just you're playing devil's advocate, but that's what I keep saying. It's like, no, it's a responsibility as a parent to care for your child and to raise them, see they're educated. And the
Supreme Court agrees that the parent does not have the right to let their child die regardless. In fact, there was a state, which state was it? It was Oregon, that just recently they were trying to overturn a bill that said that, hey, you can let your kid die for God if the child is sick or whatever, and they didn't even want to let that bill even get into the running or even be talked about, because the Republicans are in charge out there, and they're like, yeah, we don't like that bill, so I really don't care. And even if it does come up for a vote, I'm not going to let it go through anyway.
And it's not like I can speak as an authority on the topic. I don't have kids, so I don't.
You know, but it's just, but I guess in some way, though, because how children are raised, it affects society in general. And so people, even if people don't have children themselves, they should have an opinion about what is being, you know, what is happening to them, because it affects society at large.
Oh, yes.
Eventually, it does. If you have poorly educated or poor health for children, they grow up to be adults who maybe aren't functioning as well as they could. I mean, it takes a village. Hillary, but I guess I did.
Are you wearing a pantsuit, Connie?
Oh, God, no. She needs a stylist, I swear. I don't know.
There was an article that I'll tell you right now. It's from Cracked. But sometimes they do carry very interesting articles here. Now, this particular one, which I'll leave in a description here below on YouTube once it hits there. It was very interesting. It says, 6 tricks I learned as a faith healer for scamming you. So one of them was, this is the number 6, it says, the job, read, a creepy old preacher chooses you. So you can go up to say, you know, God told me to choose you for this task or whatever. So it's like he's honing in on the victim. It's like, because God said to touch you, so the claim is, then automatically you think you're suddenly important, basically what it boils down to.
Mm-hmm.
The other ones are the cheats are, it says the cheats are the simplest way, that more simpler than you suspect. And now this was told to me, it says, it's okay if you have to fake it a little bit, the mentor told me once, because people need to see that power of God, and it's okay to have to fudge things to make it happen.
You said fudge, right?
Yeah, fudge, as in with the nuts and the walnuts and the, you know, fudge.
Well, you know, there's a – have either of you read God Is Not Great?
I have not had a chance to yet, no.
Okay, well, there's a bit in there where Hitchens talks about this dude, Marjo Gortner.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
Marjo. I don't know if you've ever heard of Marjo.
Yes. Not myself, no.
There was a documentary.
Yeah. Yeah. Marjo Gortner had been raised by crazy Christian parents.
Okay.
And they basically made him do preaching and tent revivals and stuff when he was like 5 or 6 years old.
Oh, jeez.
And he was doing faith healing and all this kind of stuff. And apparently his parents just like took all the money that they made off of that and kept it to themselves.
Oh, jeez.
And so he became an adult and he got out in the world and he's like, I don't know what the fuck's going on. And he became an actor and he did a few other things. And then he got involved in this documentary called Marjo that was about him exposing the techniques of the faith healing, of the tent revival thing, that scam, just as a kind of a constellation of moves and techniques. And it's just freaking creepy. If you if you ever get a chance to see Marjo, I think it was made in like 1972, won at least one Oscar, I think.
I'll have to look that up sometime.
Yeah. Yes.
It's good. It like I said, it's very creepy.
Contact us by email at ppappodcast@gmail.com or on Twitter as @PackardPokeSat. Like us on Facebook.com/PackardPokeSat. Call our Google Voice and leave a message at 662-709-PPAP or 662-709-7727, and we will respond to it on the show. Friday nights at 9 p.m. Central Time, join us live at vaughnlive.tv/PackardPokeSat. During the show, you can share your thoughts with us by calling 857-216-3200 using PIN number 35368 or on uberconference.com/PackardPokeSat. For links to the stories, visit our show page at PackardPokeSat.wordpress.com. You can help support the show by purchasing merchandise from CafePress.com/PackardPokeSat or make a donation to the show at Patreon.com/PackardPokeSat. If you can't afford any money, why not share the show with your friends and rate us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Spreaker, and on YouTube. For everyone that shares and rates us, you kick ass.
And on the skeptical side of things, people who claim to have been healed, I was looking it up. It says post hoc ergo propter, which is basically, it could be just spontaneous remission.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
sometimes, you know, diseases do that.
Yeah.
And then there's a placebo effect, which actually is reduction in symptoms, but not the actual disease.
Right.
And James Randi actually has a book, and he had I think there's a video of it too, where he exposes Peter Popoff.
Oh, Peter Popoff!
Yeah. The faith healers. So that's both a book and a documentary, I think. So, yeah. Who his wife would his wife and other handlers would interview people as they came into his revivals, and they would find out things about people. And tip off Peter Popoff with a little microphone in his ear, to who was in the audience.
They found the how they busted him. They found the frequency he was transmitting on, and they recorded it, and they played it right back towards him.
Yep. There was a great spoof of that in the Chevy Chase movie.
I was just thinking of that one.
Yeah.
Which one?
Chevy Chase, Fletch 2.
Fletch Lives.
Yeah, Fletch Lives. No, that was a great one. That's
with
funny.
R. Lee Ermey is the preacher. go figure.
I like that last part where he's like, Chevy Chase takes over. The guy's like, I'm looking for somebody. He's like, waiting for his cue, and no one's coming because the guy's been knocked out. And Chevy takes over. He's like, he pulls up some guy who has hemorrhoids. He's like, okay, well, God, show me the guy in this row and seat. And says, okay, you should show. You've got to show it to me right here. Right now? Yes, you've got to show it right now. Okay, and he pulls his pants down, and he gets taken away. That's why. The movie itself is not the greatest piece of cinematic features, but that scene is just the best.
I gotta say though, the interactions between Chevy Chase and Cleavon Little are priceless.
Yes.
Yes. Oh. Calculus entropy. I'd be calculus entropy. Who you be? Fletch. Trigonometry Fletch.
Now, one of the things that the religious people do to basically bolster this thought process that they should only rely on faith healing, it comes from James 5:14. It says, if any be sick, call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Yeah, again, there's that whole thing with the oil, because back then everything fucking stunk. So the best way to get rid of the stink was just pour oil on it.
Well, also among most evangelicals / charismatics, they think that Jesus fulfilled Isaiah 53:5. If he took our inflictions and carried our diseases. I'm sorry, that was obviously a loose translation there.
Okay.
Yeah, and faith healing is often associated with Elijah, Jesus, and Paul. There's all kinds of, you know, stories about that. And so the more Pentecostal / charismatic evangelical type churches think that compatibility with being a good evangelical and miracles taking place today, it was actually a poll. It was a Pew poll. And they asked them, you know, is this compatible? Miracles can take place today. 94% said yes. And belief in divine healing rated a 93%. So, and people who say that they've, across all denominations, have you experienced or witnessed a divine healing? 75% said yes.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And even non-Pentecostals, the non-Pentecostals, even it was as high as 66%. So the other 75% were evangelicals. And it's considered the sign of being a good Pentecostal. They value that really highly because they are biblical literalists. And they think that everything Jesus did, you're supposed to be able to do. You're supposed to do. You're supposed to cast out demons. You're supposed to heal the sick. And
yeah.
Supposed to... obviously not feed the poor, but actually there's a lot of churches, they have Monday night soup kitchens and things like that.
Yeah.
I don't totally dissuade that, but
I was involved with the Pentecostal religion for a short time. I mean, not the snake handling crap, but fortunately for me, because if they had brought out the snakes, I would have said see ya.
They're gonna eliminate themselves from the gene pool.
Yeah, yes. the ones that with the snake handler ones, they're gonna eliminate themselves, and I hope it's quickly.
Snakes. Why did it have to be snakes?
Thank you, Indiana.
We named the dog Indiana.
Anyway, there was this one kid. He was having, when I was at this particular church, he had problems with his legs, and he had to use a walker and everything like that. But were these people, I mean, they would pray for him, but they were actually having him go to a doctor to have things done for him and things like that. At least I will give them that leniency as far as rationality, because they knew that the prayer by itself was not going to work. And there, that's even in their holy books, that it says prayer without action is just no good. It's like action without prayer. But you know what? You don't need prayer either way. Just do the action.
Right. Yeah. Yeah,
Torbjorn says I thought Jesus was against handling your snake, especially the spitting kind.
Jesus didn't say anything about handling.
Yeah,
the snake.
No, but he said you have to do it in private.
Yeah,
you shouldn't like show it off to everybody.
Right.
Yeah,
he did hang out a lot with 12 other men.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did that a lot.
Yeah, it's awkward.
Yeah.
Awkward.
Hey, I got a thought.
Sure.
Can we do something where real medicine is incentivized?
That would be a nice idea, to find some way to, you know, encourage people to use real medicine over woo.
Yeah. Like, if you don't go to a real doctor, you cannot enjoy X benefit, like you can't have a driver's license, or you can't, you know, I don't know, vote. you know. So,
well, I would say kind of probably not. I would say voting would probably be a better one. Now, taking a driver's license away would probably be a bit punitive, I would think. I mean,
well, if they don't believe in modern medicine, they shouldn't accept the automobile.
Oh, I understand that. I get that, but I mean, still,
or the
it's,
internet.
Yeah,
right.
I was hearing somebody talk about the Amish, how they take their goods on roads that built by us, and then they sit in parking lots selling their wares made possible through science. You know, so they're like skating between their religion and their beliefs and reality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I they're posers. They're real posers, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, as posers go, I don't know. I kind of think that the evangelicals are more posy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because at least, you know, they don't wear buttons and they don't use electricity and they, you know, raise barns and make quilts and crap like that.
Yeah.
And they make a concerted effort to try and live within the confines of what they say they're going to live by. Whereas,
right.
You know, you've got your Creflo Dollars and your frickin' Jeremiah, whatever the hell his name was, Jeremiah Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
I've
seen a few of them in the Walmart, though, I'll tell you.
Have you?
Yes. It's not just the Mennonites. I'm talking the regular Amish people. I've seen them actually in the Walmart. My daughter and I were out at a Walmart one time, picking up groceries or whatever. Get this. She wasn't going through the normal checkout with the regular people. You know, they're the ones handling all the electronic equipment. They're going through the quick checkouts. Now, if you're not familiar with this piece of technology, you are doing the checking out yourself using technology.
Yep.
And I told my daughter, I said, this must be this woman's big day in the city because she's able to experience and use technology on her own, and it's not a sin because
blasphemy.
She has to do with it. It's not or blasphemy because she has to do it.
Well, it's like, did you ever see Bill Maher's Religulous?
Yes, yeah. I've seen that one, yeah.
When he was in Israel and he was talking with the guy who's inventing all these things to, like, get around the Sabbath restrictions on using electricity and fire and shit.
Yeah, I've seen that. That's
and
hilarious.
Got they've got the telephone with a wand to prevent, to inhibit the inhibiting of the dialing of the numbers.
Right.
What?
It's like they're trying to circumvent their own God. It's like, yeah, what we do is instead of turning on the oven the day of, because turning a knob we consider work, so we turn the oven on the day before.
Mm-hmm.
And that they did. There was a family in New York, as I recall, that did this, and their hot plate overheated or set fire, and three people died because of this. That's the kind of that's more woo for you.
Yay, God!
Yay, God! Hey, we can't let you have fire, and you can't turn a stove on during the day. You actually want to heat stuff up. You have to turn it on the day before and let it burn up forever. You know. Oh, and by the way, it could cost you your life.
And if your house burns down in that circumstance, is that a sin?
That's God punishing. That's God taking care of your.
Yeah, yeah. God taking care of business.
There's a book for that. It's called Job.
Yeah.
God. Okay.
Bible Answers, Season 1.
I found a blog post by a rabbi, and he was talking about faith when faith kills, and he says his tradition teaches that faith is a blessing, but we human beings are co-partners with God in completing the act of creation, and that part of that partnership means that we must use God-given talents, creativity, and ingenuity and intelligence to create cures for diseases. Faith to me means believing that God intended us to create penicillin and antibiotics, cures for diseases, and medicine to ease our pain and suffering. And in fact, that is exactly how God actually works miracles in the world. And I say, good kudos to you. You've managed to shoehorn an ancient belief and modern medicine. But, you know, at least you're probably not going to kill somebody because they have an infection that we have a cure for, and you know, you're not going to look at it. But it's funny because, like what you're talking about with the Amish or with, you know, rabbis trying to figure out how not to sin after sundown on Friday, there comes a point in religion where everything, you know, things start to fall down, and yeah. you can't justify it. It's like, why would God be so interested in that?
Yeah,
right?
It doesn't make any sense.
No.
There was a woman, her name is Rita Swan. She was part of the Christian Science movement until her kid died of...
Was it peritonitis? It wasn't appendicitis, was it?
No, it wasn't appendicitis. It was something with the nervous system and the back. It's something you have to do a tap on the back.
Meningitis.
Meningitis, thank you.
I heard her interview on another podcast.
Yeah. And there's two versions of the meningitis. We mentioned this here on the show. There's a viral, and then there was a bacterial version, and one can be treated with, you know, just by taking care of yourself. The other one, you need antibiotics.
Yeah,
I think it's the viral one is the one you need the antibiotics for. And her kid had died from that particular one, from the virus.
She was Christian Scientist, wasn't she?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
And she had filed a lawsuit against her church for wrongful death, but the case got dismissed. Now, that happened back in 1977. Now she goes around. She has founded an organization called CHILD.
I didn't write down what the acronym means either.
I had it here a moment ago. It's
if you didn't have those pretend glasses on.
Yeah, I know, right? I could actually read my screen. I had it marked, but I had to restart the computer because it completely froze up on me.
Give me two more seconds, and we're going to start quoting Monty Python again.
Yeah, don't do that.
Oh, darn it. I was a newt, but I cooked better. There we go.
There we go. Well, anyway, the acronym is CHILD. Here it is. And she founded the Children's Health is a Legal Duty, or CHILD. Back in 1983, the organization that lobbies against state laws that protects parents whose child's faith over modern medicine. And in 1998, she decided to team up with the pediatrician Seth M. Asser to investigate the child fatalities associated with faith healing. They began reviewing the 172 children that died because there was no medical care withheld because of religious grounds. And their study showed that 140 of those children would have had a 190 likelihood of survival. So that's significant.
Yeah. What?
Are there firefighters observing the Sabbath? Would they just bring marshmallows?
Oh, no.
Pray for rain.
Nice. That's nice.
Or
weenies on a stick.
Yeah, Torvin also asked a little bit ago, what about life insurance and faith healing?
Now, that's a good question. I think he's probably talking about withholding that from them. I would say that would probably be a good thing to do. Because they don't believe in going to a doctor anyway, so they shouldn't buy. They should not get life insurance. They should not be allowed to buy car insurance. They should not be able to buy death insurance. Anything. They should not. They should not be allowed to pay
for. They should be required to have car insurance for the health of other people.
Okay, yeah, the car insurance. Yeah,
but not for their own benefit, maybe.
Yeah. Oh yeah. There you go. They have to pay for it. It's like getting the comprehensive, you know, they just pay just for if you get into an accident with somebody else, it'll pay off the medical bills for them, but it won't. It's not going to benefit you in any way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
That raises an interesting question because I've been in conversations with people, religious people, and some of them say everything happens because of God's plan or as an act of God, and some of them don't, but if you do take the position that everything happens as a result of God's plan or because of God's action, then insurance should never, ever pay out because every insurance policy has an exception clause in there that says, you know, we don't pay out because of X, Y, Z insurrection acts of God.
Yeah, I've always been very uncomfortable with the acts of God.
Uh-huh.
This happened in my city a number of years ago, about 10 years ago. We had a massive downpour, and it was out at the campus, the tech campus out there. And they literally, all the cars in the parking lot got drenched. I mean, they not just, you know, rained on. It flooded them out. Yep. And the insurance companies wouldn't pay them off because it was an act of God.
Right.
No, it wasn't an act of God at all. It was this was an act of rain, which that's sitting in a low flooded area.
I gotta say, it was engineered poorly, right?
It was poorly engineered. Yeah, that's poorly engineered. Not enough drainage, or the drainage ditch things got plugged up, or whatever. That's an engineering issue. That's not act of God.
Yep.
Everybody knows you have to go to hell to get a contractor. I know.
Well, that's all the good. That's where all the good contractors are going to be. So they've already gotten. If hell exists, they've already got air conditioning by now. I'm just saying.
Well, only to the lowest bidder. You know how that goes.
Yes. Yeah. I've had to deal with that myself.
Have you hit it with a hammer? Is it plugged in? Yeah. Anyway.
Did you turn it on and off a few times?
Have you turned it off and on again?
Are you in Europe? Do you need an adapter? Oh, God.
Universal adapter.
What are we talking about again?
Now, a lot of these groups is based on, because of, we kind of mentioned at the top of the show, is televangelism. People like Pat Robertson gets on there. He says, yeah, I've got somebody that was saying that they were asking me if I was praying, if I listened to a tape, can I get healed later? I mean, that's the kind of mentality. Yeah. We covered this on the show a couple weeks
last
ago.
Week.
Yeah, was it last week? Yeah.
I think so.
Is it the last week or the week before?
Yeah.
Where Pat Robertson was claiming that somebody had, they pre-recorded it, and he says, no, dummy, I met the left knee. So it doesn't matter. It's still 50-50. That you're not going to get healed through a recording, or you're not going to get healed through prayer if it's live and not Memorex. It doesn't make a difference.
Yeah. Well, does nobody bother to ask the question, how would something like this actually work? By what mechanism of action does person A, standing 10 feet away from you, talking, invoke the cells in your body to reorganize themselves into a favorable configuration?
Right. That doesn't make any sense.
Wait, no, yeah.
And going back to the God's plan thing, it just occurred to me. Then the person who gets sick, that's in God's plan. Mm-hmm. And you asking for prayer or praying for this person to get better, you're asking God to change his plans.
Right. What's the point of being God if any schmuck with a $2 prayer book can come along and fuck up your plan?
Exactly. Thank you, George Carlin.
That's it.
Oh, come on.
Hey, you've been dead a while.
I asked a person I knew back then. I said, well, I asked them that question. I said, are you saying that you can come along and ask God to change his plan? She goes, yeah. I was like, okay. So his plan's not perfect then. If you're asking him to change his plan's not perfect.
Right.
So he can't be perfect.
Right. Yeah.
Your logic is truly dizzying. You're trying to trick me to saying something.
Then the subject got changed immediately after that. So
no, I don't believe that for a moment.
Bait and switch, bait and switch. You're right though. I hate as bad as some of these sects are, and they are sects who believe in only praying, and they're killing their own children, which, I don't know, that's beyond tragic. What's even more insidious are all the televangelists and all of the preachers in pulpits who play both ends against the middle and make it seem like this is okay, and it's about your religious rights, and so you have, that's how, I'm sure that must be how we have, even in this day and age, 94 and 93% of people who think that they've actually seen miracles and that they are, and God is actually wants them to pray to make people well. it doesn't matter to me even if they still go to the doctor. The fact is that they still think in the back of their mind that this is something that you should be able to do. And maybe they just don't, and maybe they sit there and reason and say, or, you know, reason in their own heads. Mm-hmm. I just don't have enough faith to them. My faith must not be as strong as somebody else who could just pray and make themselves well.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, that's so wrong on so many levels. Oh, you know, how old were you when you became a Pentecostal or born again Christian? Most right. of the times it's like 14 years old. Mm-hmm. I was 13. I mean, you know, and you get involved in these religious sects because it seems attractive. It seems emotional and, you know, you just go along with it and think, oh, this is really, I'm really doing the will of God. I'm really, you know, in touch with God. And I don't see how people can harm their own children like this. And so afraid.
But it's all in how you frame it.
Yeah.
It's all in how, like, I was watching a thing, the PBS show Frontline did a documentary on Jonestown.
Oh, I remember Jonestown. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And they were interviewing some of the people, some of the survivors.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And one of the ladies said, nobody joins a cult. Nobody ever joins a cult. People join religious organizations because there's something appealing in the message. And when it only becomes a cult when they're drawn in beyond being able to rationally interact with the outside world.
Yeah.
Right.
And so, you know, the People's Temple type organizations, you know, or Scientology or whatever, you know, where they can basically unplug you from society.
Oh, yeah.
If not permanently, at least for a while.
Mm-hmm. Or they convince you to unplug yourself from family and friends.
Sure, sure. But, you know, that's one thing. But I don't know that like, these Pentecostal Christian sects and whatnot are really that much different. It's because they're doing this thing where they say, you know, well, if you don't behave properly, you'll be shunned and blah blah blah, like you guys were talking about earlier.
Yep.
And it's like, well, it's almost like you're looking at a negative of a photograph.
Uh-huh.
The image is still there. And all the information is there, except the colors are backwards.
Yeah.
And it seems like the Pentecostals and the more extreme Christian sects and the more extreme Muslim sects are doing the same thing that the cults are doing, but with a DC offset.
Yeah.
So they don't actually dip below the zero line, but they're still doing this crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had a comment from the chat room. Torvian says, they tell you that that the people in your life that don't believe are responsible for the bad things happening to you. That does happen a lot. They say, well, this family member over there, they don't believe in our beliefs, so they're actually what's poisoning you and making you feel bad. It's not us.
Well, most people join religions because they feel there's something wrong or missing in their life.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And that's interesting because as you were talking about this, Paul, as you were making your point, I was thinking, you know, this is what ISIS is doing. It's highlighting people who are saying there's something wrong with the system. There's something wrong with this or that. And they fill that gap.
Yep.
They turn you inward and away from society. And that's such a dangerous thing.
It is. It really is.
Yep.
All right, we're getting down to the last couple of minutes.
Oh, no.
Oh, I know. It was going so well, too.
cut the green wire, or is it the red wire?
It's the blue. It's the blue. It's always the blue.
Get that cat out of here.
Nine, eight, oh. Grab the cat. Get out of here, yes.
Okay, let's get some last thoughts on this. Paul, what is your last thoughts on faith healing?
I think faith healing is a bunch of crap, and I think parents and the people who encourage parents to engage in this kind of stuff with their children should be held accountable.
Absolutely.
Across the board.
Absolutely. I agree. I completely agree. Connie, what are your last thoughts on faith healing?
I agree with Paul, and I think that the people who propagate the ideas definitely are more culpable, and we should probably go for the head of the snake as opposed to going for the tail, but as much. But yes, I agree.
I agree with you both. I think we should tie the tail down and then take after the head, because if the tail is whipping around, you're not going to get much control over the snake, and these people are snakes. One last thing is we have started a second podcast. It's called The Atheist, The Bible, and No Wardrobe. You can find it on Stitcher, Spreaker, and on iTunes. It's also at our own homepage, which is at abandnw.wordpress.com.
Nice word salad.
It's a nice little word salad lettering thing we got going on there, but I didn't want you to have to type out the whole The Atheist, The Bible, and No Wardrobe.wordpress.com. So I abbreviated the lettering. We also have a Patreon on there as well. If you like, if you give the show a listen, the shows are about half an hour long. Connie and I actually read the Bible. I know, and I have not committed suicide yet.
It's good that you leave the door open there.
I'm leaving the door open, though. I'm leaving the door open. And I do have, when we broadcast, I do keep a hammer nearby just in case I need to take myself out in a real quick hurry.
I have the mental facility on speed dial just in case.
That's good.
Yeah.
Connie's going to go for electroshock. I'm just going to impale myself on a hammer or something. So that's the way to do it, I guess, for me.
Yeah, play the guitar on the MTV.
That's right.
Lots of Pink Floyd for me, right? Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll be back next week with our regular long show anyway. We have actual topics other than just one. We'll see you then. This has been Packer Pokes at for OK Let's Talk.
Ferris Bueller, you're my hero.
Wait, let's pray. Let's pray for him.
Pray for me to get this right.
Thor, help him. There we go.
Thor?
Yes, yes. He's got those great Pantene locks, man.
Yeah, he's got those great locks.
Pantene. And that's a wrap.